My name is Kyle. I am here with a special guest. Just kidding. It's Danny once again. How's it going, Danny? How are you doing?
I feel pretty special.
Yeah, you are. You are a special little being.
I don't strive for mediocrity, so I don't attribute specialness just to my existence.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
How dare you put me on that level with all these
you're a special little angel. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I am the gift of the earth.
But hey, today is new book day. Are you excited? We got a new book debut.
I was excited, but then when I realized that new book was just about young Cable, I was already in like a downer on old Cable. Young Cable's like even worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something. It is something. Now, did you ever read the whole like him? Because like I only glossed over it, and we always talk about it, but I never really deep dived into it. I know it was to solve the whole like the past mutants that Beast brought back. He solved that issue, right?
The all different X-Men or Children of the Atom Part 2 or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, he was supposed to be the MacGuffin to fix that, but that just created more problems. And it seems that they're doubling down. I do remember that supposedly at the conclusion, old Cable died. Like he defeated old Cable.
Yeah.
Killed him in some way.
Yeah, that is my understanding as well. So yeah, that happened. And now we're left with young Cable. Very virile, but it's just not the same. Doesn't have that gruff.
Well, he doesn't have that gruff, and he doesn't seem to have that
experience.
Well, just functionality. He seems very, very ineffective and very hokey in his approaches. Almost seems too childlike. Like this was my problem with young Cable before, is that he wasn't just a kid who you know had a hard life. He grew up in a war-torn life. Like he was in a war-torn society that was constantly at a form of combat or enhanced aggression. It wasn't like he had to grow up in poverty or things like that. That stuff that normally shapes someone for the better makes them more well-rounded. He went through a much more intense version of that, and I feel that his demeanor and his character portrayal does not convey that at all. And that's bad.
He's always written like he's having a good time, but he should be all like, this is fun, but, you know, my family's dead and all that. Like, he should still have those memories of, like, war-torn times.
Yes, so. He shouldn't be so just so
casual. He should be like Logan. Logan's like...
Joking. Yes, much more like Logan.
Logan's like, it's too peaceful. I don't like this. It's too peaceful.
Like, even his age doesn't seem to speak to his actual, even his actual age. Mm-hmm. So he should be more mature just even for his age and appearance. But even if you were to scale it back and say, all right, well, have him be as mature as his age and appearance, he acts like a fucking 8-year-old. Like, he really acts like a kid, like a fucking kid. In no way, shape, or form do I feel that this guy has faced war. I feel like the only war he's faced is on his fucking PlayStation. Like, he only plays video games, and that's where he gets all his war turn, like, terminology and lingo and understanding of guns. Like, maybe he existed in, like, a simulator the entire time, and we're going to find out some crazy twist to his character, but I just don't think that's the case. I think that he's just going to be a time travel plot device that's going to get wrapped up when probably the other Cable comes back and kills it.
That's gonna be good.
That's how it's going to go down. But yeah, it's bad. And you know what? Honestly, I've come to expect this because when you find terrible character portrayal, you tend to find Dugan not too far off. It just goes hand in hand. If you're going to have an issue that's going to focus on an individual, it better not try to make a series out of it because eventually he'll forget who the series was about.
Yeah.
Like, I can see Dugan writing Cable issue one, and then, like, 4 issues in, he's not even in the issues anymore.
Right. We were just talking about other people, and it's like, what's happening? Dugan, you did it again. Right? That's an interesting choice, right?
It's interesting. There's a lot of weird things going on in this issue, but you know what? Having dealt with some more really just garbage issues with other stuff, especially things like Excalibur, this one's better by comparison.
Yeah, I'll give it that for sure. That'll definitely fall off with book two, as most books do, but we'll see.
Yep.
What do you think of the cover?
Cover's cool. Cover has a very it has a very original feel. That's mm-hmm. one of the things I liked about it right away, is that it felt very original, but it also still kept enough of that vibe of the old school comics, like Flash Gordon is what they're kind of reaching for, because spoilers, like, this has to do with the Space Knights in this issue, and I don't know if people are very familiar with, like, Rom the Space Knight and all that right. kind of stuff, but that's, like, heavily influenced by Flash Gordon and that kind of old style sci-fi. So this art in this iconography is very akin to that in it, but in an original way, in a very unique way. There's no issue cover that looks like this in any of the Donna Axe series, right?
No, not at all. I did it.
The movie poster.
The movie poster, yeah. Pretty much. But shall we? Now,
this whole part at the top here, though, speak softly and carry a big fucking gun.
Oh, yeah,
I forget that kind of writing and kind of expletive and how they use it gets kind of watered down as the issue goes on. They lean on it too much. It's almost as if they take that catchphrase and they just repurpose it in like three other sentences.
Sure.
And it's whatever.
Was
done for this. Like, did you guys just have one frame of thought and then just see how long you could stretch it out?
Everyone seems to be written just like one note these days. One thing, because that one thing has to define you these days, I guess. So you only get one. You only get one.
I'm Cable. I got a gun. Fuck you. I've got a gun. Big damn gun. Gun fucking big. Big gun fucking damn. That's like Cable through the most of this issue. And it's dumb. It really is dumb. Literally, we go from that, and the first thing he says is, fuck you, Wolverine. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Problems. Fuck you, dude. I'm just fucking over him. I gave him praise around Marauders too, saying, like, you know, Dugan seems like he's got potential to bring something interesting here, new and original. And then I realized, was like, he's talentless. He's a hack. Dugan's a hack. I don't know, like, I mean, if he's got like a 10-year-old ghostwriting for him, but I believe it.
I wonder how much editorial is playing a role in this.
I mean, if it's all, then fair enough. I'll give him a pass. But I feel like if it comes to bad character portrayal, he's got an MO that he's kind of etched out for himself for a while now. It seemed like there was the one trick that Cable was throwing down through most of the issue, is that he's like, look how one dimensional I can be. Aren't you all impressed by how one dimensional I can be? I'm like, who are you showing off to, Cable?
Right. Ridiculous. But yeah, let's get into this. So yeah, the first thing he says is just, fuck you, Wolverine. And we're met with him pretty much monologuing to himself, narrating. He says his name. He has cool font when he says his name. Everyone has cool font these days. And they're in the quarry. This is one of the first battles of the quarry. And we see Cable and Wolverine kind of fighting, right?
Yep.
And kind of calls turn.
He just cleaved his big fucking gun in twain.
Yeah, just chopped it right in half. And he tries to call Cotton out. And as he does that, he's kind of still narrating. And he's like, but watch this movie play out, pretty much. And he's kind of like going like, look at what's about to happen. It's going to get crazy. Here we go, man. This is it. Don't stop now. I can't stop talking. If I stop, it's going to be crazy.
I'm one of the wild, crazy guys. It's like, what are you doing, Cable? You sound like a fool. Like, who are you like... Are you really breaking the fourth wall here? Like, do you know we are reading you?
Right.
Who are you monologuing this big buildup to? Just do what you need to do to defeat Wolverine. Like, why did you fuck around?
Right.
And why is Wolverine so inept?
Why is he?
The veterans like Wolverine and Apocalypse, and they just get shifted to the backseat for story narrative.
Mm-hmm. Always, because you shouldn't have lost. He shouldn't have lost this. And he does. But, he chops his weapon in half. Wolverine's like, is that a fucking joke? You bring that human weapon into our JoJo, which...
No, no, human idea where he says time out. He says time out.
Time out. Says,
that's a human construct, which is weird because Wolverine has never acted or stands like that. He's had his moments where he's talked about like humans and mutants, yeah, but he's never been like a human or mutant apologist. So it's weird to see Wolverine being like, you use human ideas. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck.
Okay. I thought he meant the gun at first when he said human ideas.
Like, technically, his adamantium would be human ideas.
True.
He's a walking human experiment. But no, apparently Cable has telekinesis.
Yeah.
Cable forgot about it up until this
point. Until this point, right? And then, yeah, he busts out, does his best telekinesis impression, and just prevents him from getting hacked up, punches him in the face. And what does he hover? He's like hovering a little bit.
No, he's activating the telekinesis in his hands to bring up the pieces of the broken gun.
Okay.
Yeah, he killed one of my favorite guns, but also he's out of it and he puts it on Wolverine's claws to try to
muzzle. It puts it on like a muzzle, pretty much.
Yeah, to like muzzle his claws, but I mean,
come on.
So he punch you in the face with the gun now?
Yeah, he'll just punch you over and over until the gun's destroyed and he has claws again. It's dumb. You have to suspend your disbelief, and I'm not at all.
Or look at this. Here's this shot of like Callisto and Basilisk just sitting in the crowd, and they're just drinking and hooting like they're a bunch of rednecks at like NASCAR or like a boxing match. And I thought, what's going on? Or Gorgon, that's Gorgon there, not Gorgon, Basilisk,
yeah.
But it's same concept. But yeah, they seem like yokels and they got like a handle of hooch in each hand. I'm like, what is this the demeanor of like most of the people? I mean, Gorgon's supposed to be a really important character when it comes to how he plays a role as security for the council.
Right.
And Callisto's supposed to play a role as the white bishop in, or the white knight in the hierarchy of what the Hellfire Training Club is doing. So these are people here, but they look like simpletons. They look like buffoons, and they're supposed to be part of the structure. I mean, if Krakoa fails, then I'm going to say no wonder. Look at most of your people who are drunk yokels.
Well,
you built the country off of that.
It does seem like they're partying a lot, and then now they're doing this quarry, so they're definitely tapping into hedonism a lot. I wonder if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing in the long run.
Like they're swept up in it. Like the fervor is almost taking them taking them ahead and just leading them down a path to destruction almost. Because becoming inept. I mean, look how inept Wolverine is. Wolverine lost this fight like a chump. He seems like he was like being toyed with by a child.
So essentially, Cable just uses his heavy skeleton structure to his advantage and pushes him over. He like headbutts him and pushes him over. Is that it?
Yeah, he just headbutts him, and then when Wolverine falls down, he uses telekinesis to pin him. Yeah. But he'd already knocked him down with his telekinesis already. So why didn't he just keep him down? Why didn't he just do that in the beginning?
So like, dumb.
Why the fight start? Telekinesis pin done. Would have made you look even more badass. It's almost as if he didn't figure it out until halfway through the fight. He was like, oh shit, I do have telekinesis. And why did that stop Wolverine from just having, like, he could just rub his claws together and get the metal off and have his claws back? But it didn't really matter because he wasn't trying to stop the claws. He was just trying to just get Wolverine's focus off of him long enough to headbutt him. But none of that was necessary. It was almost like there was too much done to accomplish something that could have been done quickly and way easier when you factor in the telekinesis is the crutch of him winning this fight. It's like, yeah, that's why he won the fight, but right away he could have just won the fight and we didn't even need to pull it out. If he's going to go down that road, which you knew he was going to, can't win hand-to-hand combat. Wolverine heals. His adamantium makes him indestructible and makes him stronger. So obviously he was going to do that. I don't know why they drew it out like this, though. It seems like they're creating like tension, or they're building towards something without any necessity to it. Like, remember in the Excalibur issue when Richter was just hanging out in Jubilee's room for no reason to tell her
what's up? Yeah.
That's this. There's more of this. There's stuff going on in these fucking issues.
I don't know what it is. Why are we doing this? Why are you dragging this out? Why do you have to do this to us? We're paying you.
And I'd be the first person to say, I want a gladiatorial where mutants fight it out. But I want it to make fucking sense and not just be shoehorned in there just because.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, let's just do it. It's not going to matter. It mattered in what was it, New Mutants, right? That was the issue that we read where they had the Crucible?
Yeah.
It was the last New Mutants issue we read. That mattered. And wait.
No, and that's X-Men, but yeah.
That was X-Men. But it held weight to her and held weight to the reader and it held weight to the story. So I don't feel like this holds any weight to us as the reader or the story or even Cable. Nothing. Because the story goes on after this and it doesn't really matter. None of that even matters. After we
watch it, none of this matters. The only thing I can see it matters is it's showing the weird dynamics between the polyamorous relationship. Because it goes, I guess, he's referring to him as Uncle Logan. And he's like, I'll see you back at home, Uncle Logan. I'm just like, what is happening with your poly relationship right now? The kids are involved? Oh, see,
that's true. I didn't even notice that. I just took it as like he... You know, like I had an uncle growing up that was once married to my aunt and then they divorced and too. I still call them uncles. So there's all these like weird things where Gene and him did kind of have a relationship in the past and maybe he just sees him as an uncle figure, you know. But still, it is, if that is what they're trying to ham up, is where he's like, yeah, you're my uncle because you bang my mom who isn't even really, that's not even really his mom.
Not his mom. Madeline Pryor. Wait till Madeline Pryor returns.
Yeah. Is he only Uncle Logan because he's Eiffel Towering Gene with Scott? Or how does that know? I don't even know. Is he cornholing Scott? And so now he's uncle?
I don't know how it's weird. I don't know.
This makes this already weird situation even messier.
It's messy. It's weird. But yeah, he wins by pinning. Victorious by pinning. And I read this really fast. And as I scrolled down, I had to do a double take because I thought this said white mutant supremacy for a second. Especially coming from Silver Samurai. That's weird.
Oh, it's the WIT part that right there.
Yeah. Oh, man. That threw me off so bad.
With his mutant supremacy, a dude with telekinesis pinned a guy who already weighed a lot. No, like a Wolverine spit, but he also sent the spit noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like instead of them doing like a sound like bubble.
Where yeah, they he actually said it. Said it.
Spit you.
I think that was on purpose or maybe a mistake.
That had to have been an editorial fuck up because nobody says the word spit when they spit.
Who did the lettering? Do they usually have credits on lettering? A letter, VC's and Joe Sabino. VC's, what does this mean? VC's Joe Sabino. So it's, what is that? Is that a person? Is that a
brand? Viet Cong's very own Joe Sabino.
I don't know what that
he's
means.
He's on land from the more radical side, north side of Vietnam.
Can you just use like three names, like a average Christian European person? Come on now. Is that so much to ask?
I just wonder because it's come up before and I've seen VC in here a couple times, but I always thought that was the person's like moniker or something. But now that you point out that it's his VC's Joe Savino, I'm thinking like, well, what the fuck is VC?
Right?
I've heard of Joe Savino though. That name is very familiar.
Weird. Okay. I don't know. Dude, I just artists need to, you know, your name's fine. Let your art speak for it. You don't need a crazy name. That's all I'm getting.
What I think happens is it's like in Anchorman where they changed his prompter and he just read it anyways because that's what he does no matter what.
Yeah.
I have a feeling a lot of these weird mistakes like that happen because they just label it like that.
They just do it. They're just like, I'm doing it.
Just transplant it and don't even think about the context.
Yeah, for sure.
I believe that the people over at Marvel Editorial are just zoned out and they're just looking for things like to trigger them. Trigger warnings or keep your head down.
I'm looking at the credits right now, and I got to check out the variant cover because Greg Capullo did one of the variant covers, which I find interesting. Yeah, he's been doing so much with Batman lately. I didn't think he would come over and do a random variant cover for X-Men. Cable to boot.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Interesting. I'll have to look that up later.
Yeah, that must have been just one of those weird, like, perfect moments where all the stars aligned and they're like, yeah, fucking come in and do it. He's like, all right, this would be great.
So he wins. We get Callisto and Gorgon complaining about a bet that they made. Callisto specifically is like, this wouldn't have happened if old man Cable was around. And that's when he spits.
No, she's just, for the record, I wouldn't have bet against
old man Cable. Okay, yeah. And she's bitter. She has to give up her bottle. Alcohol. Then look at this. Look at the fans that Wolverine has, and look how sad the fan base is. Oh, the Logan cheerleaders.
They're down. They're down.
They're down. But Wolverine clearly easily breaks out of that, like I said, and he gives Cable a good pat on the back and whatnot. What does he say too? He talks about cheating.
Oh, well, he says, there's no cheating in the quarry, except what magic did.
Except for what magic did. I want to know what magic did. It's great. Of course magic did something weird.
I like how Silver Samurai is also, like, the announcer for all this. Like, he's, right? Like, that announcer for the World Martial Arts Tournament in Dragon Ball Z.
I pictured the chairman from Iron Chef.
Oh, beautiful. Perfect. Yes, exactly. He would have that exact same voice and that tone. Like, just picture Logan, like, dude, you need to turn it down to at least an 8. Like, we're all functioning on a constant 6, and you're on an 11, and it's really awkward. No one's that enthusiastic. Take it down.
Take it down a notch. But yeah, what are these markers that they're referring to? I assume it's just like a mark on the board, right?
Yeah, the win-loss ratio.
The win. Yeah, okay. That's what I figured. I wasn't sure. But yeah, people literally carry Cable off while Logan just kind of hangs out, right? With Silver Samurai.
Yeah, they have, like, a bit back and forth about, he says the youth are coming for all of them. And then, you know, Logan just brushes it off and says, when are you going to face me? And Silver Samurai is just like, well, you wouldn't have lost that bad, huh?
Yeah, you want me to take that marker?
Yeah, he's like, you're glad for punishment.
savage.
I would like to see that fight, though.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd be down. But we go to the next page. The next page gives us the stats on the current quarry champions, the records that have happened. Pretty interesting. We got Cable Wolverine up top. Callisto and Jumbo Carnation. That would have been interesting.
What? No. So Jumbo Carnation can stand a chance against someone because he's like, look, I have 2 more arms than you normally would. Klaus is like, cool, I can lift a building. Right? Yeah, it's like, okay, so where your 2 arms are gonna punch, like, nothing when, like, someone intangible just phases through you, like Kitty or something, you know? That's just funny, though. Like, Callisto, like, wrecked him. Wrecked Fish and Pyro.
Mm-hmm.
Callisto's, like, kind of, like, heavy on the leaderboard here 3 times, where everyone else got once. Now, there's Leech and Artie fought each other with Leech winning. Mm-hmm. That was kind of weird. What kind of fight was that? Was it just, they cancel out people's powers? And from Leech afterwards, Leech and Artie afterwards, you'll notice there's kind of like a corresponding battle where the 2 powers are kind of similar. But I mean, with their powers canceling each other out, theirs was just legitimately a fight. Like, theirs were just like kids beating each other up. Yeah. And everyone was just cheering and watching and like, yeah, like, knock him out. Yeah. But then, boom, next we got Dazzler and Jubilee, which. That's the age-old fight that no one ever asked for.
No one wanted, but there you go. You have it. Dazzler would win that situation, apparently.
Jubilee is the 90s Dazzler.
Now, Wolfsbane beating Pyro. What happened there?
That's the one that got confusing to me. I don't know what the contrast is. And they have Pyro on here twice, so I'm assuming that means the younger Pyro and the older Pyro, or I don't know.
Maybe. I think it's the same pyro. I think it's Marauder's pyro.
Maybe.
That's my guess.
But that pyro was, I feel like...
You're talking about the mentally challenged pyro? That guy's still mentally challenged. Yeah, He's alive still.
The St. James Aldar pyro, but yeah, the other one. Yeah, I don't think that would be... I just don't think he would lose to someone like...
Yeah, Wolf. I get where you're getting it, coming from, but...
But I don't know about Wolfsbane. But yeah, it's probably... But then if it's like the... If it's that one, that they're fighting a handicapped person, that's right. Pretty... I wish they could have shown the M and Bishop fight. That would
have been cool. That would have been a good one, yeah. I would have liked... Yeah.
Yeah, Firestarter, that's... How do you burn someone who's immune to fire?
That would just...
Make it hotter.
I feel like everyone...
Like the two, they kept like... Were they Kakunas? No, it was... What does Butterfree evolve from?
Yeah, Kakuna.
Is it Kakuna? I thought that's what turned into like Beedrill, but... Where they just kept hardening at each other? They weren't actually...
Yeah, you just hardened. Just constantly...
I harden.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Then we got Rogue and Havoc. Rogue wins that one. This is interesting. Esme Cuckoo and Irma Cuckoo, and Esme won that one. I wonder what that was like.
That's grudge match too, going back to the days of he was first Phoenix War Song. Yeah, they've always had a rivalry with each other.
Yeah.
Or Blink, that one would have been dope.
That would have been cool. Brawl,
which makes sense.
Yeah, that's funny. And then this is the best one right here. Gorgon versus Magic. Gorgon won that, but the DQ Magic got disqualified. I don't know. I want to know what she did to get disqualified.
Yeah. They also have one that's not on there that's in the legend. It just did not finish, which... And I assume that happens when someone dies or something. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, something's going to happen in the future. But let's cut to the preface page. We're still in the pre... Well, yeah, that was like a big opener. We're still going through the title pages right now, and we're on page 10. But a new start. No longer the grizzled time-traveling fighter, the young Cable is ready to make the most of life on the mutant island of Krakoa. Luckily, there's plenty of trouble to get into. So yeah, like, all of that wasn't necessary, right? We're starting now.
There's never going to be any reference to what's going on right here. They've moved past it. I kind of would rather the issue just stay there, and we had a whole issue of just people fighting.
That would have been great. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
It's the fucking flaming horse all over again. They like tease the thing we want and then follow with the thing we don't give a shit about.
Yeah, and this is... Okay, so we got Pixie and we got Armor all over Cable pretty much. And as they're kind of like leaving, we get a curse, right? Curse, and she's all like, My friend is gone. Please help me find him. And we get this.
It's like the beginning of Where the Wild Things Go. Where she's like, what's the Island of Monsters? Okay. I know where this movie goes, but play
on. Yeah. And this is I guess I reference it in the beginning. So it's not necessarily that. But this is so cliche movie style. Like, we got this character that's just like, can you help me find my friend? And we go out and find the friend. We're going to play out the situation exactly how you expect the situation to play. And we're done. It's like, what's happening? Why are we doing this? Honestly, what games are we playing, Dugan? Like, where I could go to the last couple pages and more or less get what you're trying to get at. It was kind of like the Giant Size Gene and Emma, where you could read that last page and get literally everything from that issue, or at least
Yeah. Oh my god, I can't believe when you said it like that, I didn't even fucking realize it until right now. God damn it.
Yeah. And that's what we're dealing with right now. And that's what. Is this just a comic book thing? A modern comic book thing? I feel like.
They don't know the stories. Well, you see, that's like most like modern people when they argue, and like a lot of the points that they have an end game or an end meaning, and however they get there is okay. It's not, it doesn't matter. It's like normally you try to, you have a hypothesis and then you try to flesh it out and prove your hypothesis, but it's to them, it's already been proven. They just need to work backwards from it to try to get that hypothesis. It's dumb. That's not how you do it. You can't make arguments that way. You can't write stories that way. You can't do anything properly because you've never vetted a foundation to build from. So it becomes hollow and collapses on itself because of the flaws in the writing, the canon, and just the nonsensical dialogue that does not connect the story. And just these weird little plot devices that are thrown down to force the story forward. It's like you can't even get to, you can't even write to the end. You have to pull the story to the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sums it up. I'm done. We can go home now. but yeah, we get this kid, and even like kneels down and is all like, all right, kid, where on the map did he touch you?
It's kind of that moment. It really is.
It's kind of the vibe I got from that.
Yeah, he's just showing it. He's like pointing at the map.
But yeah, she shows on the map, right, where this kid is, where all the monsters are, and we cut to, I guess, Fauna, right, going around the forest, and she sees, is it a he or she? I don't know.
And I think the other mutant is a
okay, boy. Gotcha. And she sees something, or he sees something, and... Oh wait, he sees something. I got this. They fixed it. 2020. Yeah. She gets spooked, but then when she runs away, she runs right into Cable, and Cable's
right. Right into his like stomach, like a brick wall.
Right. Just bam. That was supposed
to be, like jacked because it sounded like a car crash when that kid like collided with it.
Yeah, and he just runs right into him, and I like that. I don't know if this is on purpose or like a jab at Liefeld, but the Cable's just like, hey man, I like your pouches. I admire your pouches. I don't know what that is. That made me laugh.
It caught me off guard too. I wasn't sure what was the setup there. It must have been a jab at Liefeld. It had to be.
Right.
It had to be due to all the pouches in the past, and just it's just playing off of that. Because I was looking, I'm like, does that little girl even have pouches? It's like right? She's got any pouches, and he's.
I don't even see pouches, right?
I mean, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's in like a seizure and he's like, he just sees pouches and everything. And he's like, more pouches everywhere. The world's just pouches. Everyone's got pouches.
It's like, Cable, are you okay? And he's pouches. Oh, pouches.
So open it up. Everything you can just pop and take shit out of it because we are all just one big pouch.
There he goes again. Cable has pouches.
you've got some sort of a mental breakdown that's happening. I think all the war-torn experiences you have actually finally caught up to you. We should have noticed that, you know, you acting like a child all the time was technically like a cry for help. We should have diagnosed it more aptly instead of just enabling you. Everyone wants me to like talk to this dude. I mean, he's a grown man who like saw death, and he's acting like he's five.
Don't get it. Don't get it at all.
Are you supposed to be his father?
But Pixie comes in. She's like, we got incoming, yo. And as it happens, we are met with this giant bear man pig. Bear monster. Bear demon bear thing.
And bear pig. It is a bit of a man bear pig. God damn it, Kyle.
A little bit.
At first, I was thinking, it's an oversized lion built like a hippo, but it does look like a bit of a man bear.
he tells the kid to run, pretty much. You know, I'll cover him. And he just shoots at him. Fun. Pew, pew, pew. Right in the face. It seems to just annoy the fuck out of him.
it hits him. It's like, and
then it's good. Pixie kind of helps get the kid, like, she's the kid freaking out. Pixie's all like, don't worry, here, everything is all right.
This is the issue gets good. Let's be honest. This is where the issue really gets good. It's such a tonal change. It's such a tongue-in-cheek joke. It's so perfect in how it's applied, and it worked 100%. If I have to give credit to Dugan, I will give it right here. This part I liked a lot. Pixie's placement in it and her approach, really questionable. Extremely questionable. I mean, let's frame this. Cable's like, I'm gonna try and hold this thing off. You go take the kid to safety. She goes no more than like 10 feet away, drugs the kid with hardcore extreme psychedelics. Like, I'm talking instant psychoreactive drugs that like put this kid in a state of of complete stupor and
confusion.
100%. And then instantly she turns around to be like, and now I'm gonna go fight this thing with Cable, who is also struggling to fight it, as if she's going to add to it. It's like, take the kid to safety and run.
Right.
You both just die here, and then the kid can die too, because this thing is as big as the tree you put him in.
It's ridiculous. But this kid's tripping.
Yeah, the kid's tripping, and now he's going to just like run at the thing's face and be like, let me hug you. It's like, it just seems like such a questionably bad choice.
Happened. This kid just runs straight, like he sees Cable throw like a grenade. I guess he thinks it's a ball.
And it's like one of those little people like pulling them and they pop and they shoot the confetti bomb.
Yeah.
That's it. Now look at that face. Look at the face that the man bear pig is making. Look at how joyous and just it's some screens I dig, and then that last screen when it pops in its face, it's kind of creepy.
A little bit. Yeah. The kid's just like, yeah, man, this is everything I wanted. Meanwhile, we cut to reality and Cable's just like, fuck you, you fucking fuck. Throws a grenade at his face. He's not happy about that.
He did say, you're not even being hyperbolic.
No, that's exactly what he said.
He literally said, fuck you, you fucking fuck.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Good writing. Good writing, Dugan.
Is this...
Especially because, you know, it's blurred out or, you know, censored.
But I'm a kid, but I'm an adult. Look at these big guns. Fuck you. What are they trying to say? That Cable's some sort of joke? Like he's a child trapped in a man's body? Or I don't get it.
I don't know.
Approach, I don't get the tone. He's trying to make Cable so one-dimensional and plastic. He's like a robot. Like if they had one of those broken, like remember when they made Ragnarok, the like LMD of Thor, during Civil War,
he
talked like Thor. He was Thor, but you could tell he was a robot because he was like kind of campy Thor, like, almost like Thor with no. Just all taglines, as if they loaded up a soundboard of Thor. And so that's what I'm... This Cable
feels... Is Cable an LMD?
Is like, Cable an LMD? Revealed, like, boom, he's a robot or something. Or, like, he's Ultron or something. Like, I don't care. That would make more sense than this. Because this Cable is just a joke.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's like no one cares about him. It's all like, oh, let's put effort here, here, and here. And then there's Cable. I don't know. More like people just don't know what to write, how to write this. He's a new character still, so he's
is this like an inheriting Vietnam situation? Is Jerry Dugan like Richard Nixon, and he's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's what's happening.
I don't know. Like, we'll throw some expletives. Cable's got big guns. He likes pockets. Like, I'll just have him say something about pockets. But is it like he's like pissed? He's like, because there are clearly no pockets on that scene or like pouches, and he's like talking about it. So is he just Dugan going like, I'll put some shit about pouches?
Everything about like writing, like is this just how people communicate these days, where they just say shit and you're just like, none of this matches the reality I'm seeing around me. But I'm glad you said those words. That's what I feel like.
Is he monologuing when he's like, yeah, it's fucking Cable, man. Like, we'll just put some bit about fucking pouches and then we cut to the next scene. I want my man bear pig.
Man bear pig. It's ridiculous. Yeah, so man bear pig gets aggro. Pixie tries to friggin' get some acid up in it, and so it did not like that at all.
Why did Pixie become this fucking like chick that just goes around dosing people? That's her fighting style. She's just like that's old school Pixie. This doesn't make any sense unless she's like currently regen, and that's what we're getting is a throwback to that. But they said that her persona and her character is saved back to more recent.
Right.
So she should still have all those current thought patterns. Like, remember she had that little psychic energy dagger that she used to wield?
Oh yeah.
That was cool. Like, that kind of went. That was like the height of Pixie being a badass.
She seems to be taking that kill no human seriously, but behind the scenes she's like, I'm not gonna kill him, but they're gonna kiss God.
She's gonna give him a dick. Start hustling. And
yeah.
My own little racket, and then like, you know, the Marauders have to shut her down because like we need to the black market.
First taste is free.
Sebastian Shaw comes after. He's like, you don't understand. The black market is mine. Oh man,
we already broke.
That'd be a bad idea though. If you dose this giant monster and then it comes, you know, it's like a
panic and
to this like crazy like sensation that's flowing through its body right now. It's like I'm fucking in a cartoon. Everything can be destroyed.
Withdrawals would be crazy. I wouldn't want to be around this thing.
Yeah.
But this cute motherfucking fucked up kid, this guy tripping balls, just walks slowly and casually and like I could help him. And
Cable's turned like, into like Dragnet right here where those kids did LSD in like college and then like one of them was like, I could fly.
Yep, that's exactly what's happening right now.
I'm so high. Nothing can hurt me.
Member Pig tries to bite him. Cable kind of jumps in time, saves him. And this is great. Cable saves him and then like throws him up at Pixie, which I found. I just thought that was funny. He saved him and then just tossed him. Here, take this.
To do her job again.
We're doing this again. She was told what to do. She failed. And now we're back here. Well, let me see. Hold on. That was a page and a half ago. Two pages ago.
She thought helping was dosing this creature with psychotropic substances. She's like, I'm helping Cable. It's just gonna...
That was 5 pages ago. Fuck me. Wow. So, yeah.
It functions like PCP. The creature's like unstoppable.
cleaning my room all day. She finally listens and gets him out of there. And right as that happens, Cable's about to get like smashed by him by a Poa. And that's when Armor comes in, saves the day. You know, with their armor and whatnot.
With their psychic armor or kinetic, isn't it? It's like kinetic energy.
Kinetic, yeah.
Hard constructs.
And they have a moment, right? She grabs him out of the way and they fall to the ground. Armor's on top. And this is interesting.
Looks like a juggernaut there.
A little bit.
She took like a juggernaut shape. So it's like she's holding Cable in her juggernaut like armor. It's kind of funny. Yeah. They have a good moment where they just connect. And then he says something about like, is that like a Mars bar in your pocket or something?
Right,
it's like that kind of joke.
It's like a weird, like they're having a sexual moment, but at the same time, Armor's just all like, you know, you were the one that recruited me, not you, the old man. You remind me of him. It's weird. Is that that's the vibe I'm getting?
That was definitely one of those things where you don't. It's like that situation where they call out something in the middle of sex and you're like, oh well, that's ruined everything.
It's done now, it's gone, it's over.
It's done.
Yeah, you,
that cat don't go back in the back.
That's what I'm getting from that a little bit.
I do like the face when she turns away and now he looks, you can tell he just looks and they're staring.
Yeah.
Like protrusion, and it's the old fable of the nail in the pub.
Yeah, we get this whole old freaking tale that you've heard multiple times before. Why is this animal grumpy and fighting us? Oh, it just has something stuck in its paw. And yeah, they notice that. Why do we keep wanting to call armor karma? That's not racist. That's a little racist.
karma or armor?
Yeah. Armor. So yeah, they hatch a plan to essentially to get this out. They banter a little bit. Honestly, I didn't even care. I didn't even listen to what they said. Totally ignored that panel. I just skipped straight to him getting his gun.
It really wasn't relevant in the sense that I felt there was any lasting foundation for what's being built here.
Yeah.
Because I read Fallen Angels, and I know what happens to people in these situations around Cable, and it just gets thrown to the wayside. And all of this stuff is irrelevant and just moves.
Yep.
To never be brought up again. And never if it does, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, who cares about that little aside that happened in Fallen Angels? Is that really, you're really going to make that relevant here? Man, if anyone writes that, I'd be so surprised. Like 10 years from now, they're like, remember what happened in Fallen Angels?
Sick-ass reference, though.
This whole summer is going to have a fucking special event based off of that.
No.
If Thomas will survive that long, I'd be...
Yeah, it's gone. We'll be gone by then. We'll all be just, you know, playing freemium games.
There you
go. what a life. Yeah. man. Cable shoots Man-Bear Pig. He falls down. Armor gets up, grabs his paws, kind of like puts him in like an armbar.
Yeah.
While Cable gets this little dub.
There you go.
pulls out this little nub, but then he finds out that this little tiny nub. Well, first he can't reach it, right? He can't pull it out with his strength because he's puny, and he's not old man Cable, so he uses his psychic powers to kind of help pull it out. And what he finds out is it's a sword. It's a motherfucking sword.
And you thought this was some sort of animal-based fable? No, this is an Arthurian masterpiece brought to life.
Yeah, pulls out a sword from the lion. The lion runs off. Man-Bear Pig runs off.
Then the sword attacks him with lightning.
And then the sword just straight up like...
We go straight from Camelot to the top of the mountain with Highlander.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. He gets zapped. He gets knocked out faster than Thor and Thor Ragnarok with a tiny little electrical device. Can we talk about how many times that motherfucker got zapped by like a taser in that movie? And you're like, motherfucker, you're the god of thunder. Why is this affecting you?
Oh, because we're trying to make this a grounded movie and we want to write simple for it. Because we have procedural marketing aspects that we want to write here. And if he's just too powerful outside human realms, it just doesn't work in our time format. It just doesn't. So taste.
Taste. Yeah, so he's out.
I mean, and he can't be full on God. He has to be relatable to the audience.
Yeah. frustrating. I don't want. Can we stop? Don't stop relating to me. How about that? Just tell your story. Don't connect. How about you don't connect with me? Just do your thing.
Make it as unconnectable as possible and let me connect myself. Yeah. I'll connect
myself to God. Exactly.
You do you. I'll find myself within.
But we cut to...
He's the king of Krakoa. He pulled the sword out.
Yeah, he's the king now. But we get this like weird flashback, right? And then we're met with a space knight. When's the last time you've seen the space knights?
I know about Rom. I remember he was big because he used to be a part of some sort of other comic distributor that was brought into the fold of the Marvel conglomerate. And... he started getting written into stories throughout, gosh, the 80s or something like that for Marvel. Because there were ROM comics before that. And I thought it was
Hasbro. Like, it was like a Hasbro comic line, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that was the so this is where it got looped in with the Transformers and all that other stuff.
Yes.
So they had their own comic and toy line, and that was just a marketing thing. That was just some sort of mass market, like kind of how they do with the Dragon Ball Heroes and all that shit.
Yes.
It's just it's a medium that was getting released in tandem to market that kind of stuff. But then they got the rights to that and started writing Rom the Space Knight as like a normal character amongst the Cosmic Marvel characters. So like Guardians of the Galaxy would be going around and Nova and all those people, and they'd be like, oh, look, it's Rom the Space Knight. He's going to come along with us, and we're going to fight Thanos. So that kind of weird shit started happening. Like they did with Angela or Angelica, you know, from Spawn or from that character that got wrote in as like a half sister to Thor. That was weird. That was messy. But I mean, DC's been doing this forever. They did that with Vertigo and some of the Image characters and all that stuff. So this is just what happens when you get cross-marketing characters that get baked into the canon. And now there's this weird nod. I don't think to Rom, though. This is a different
It's just a random space knight named Morn. Morn?
Yes, Morn. Morn, yeah. I couldn't remember if it was or was someone else. Yeah, he looks a lot like Rom, the space knight. Just a
little bit. Does. He does. Yeah. That's racist.
Oh, well, come on, man. You all know that space knights are good tippers, but
I get it. I get it, you know.
They're great tippers.
All space knights look the same. A good robot is a dead robot. I get it.
No, you missed. Only good bug is a dead bug.
A good bug is dead bug. Oh, I would like to know more. I would. So he's roaming around.
and now they have his sword, which, man, what a chain. This is I know Cable's already messy with time travel, but man, this is a big chain to tie in using the Space Knights and the Hasbro line.
It's weird, man.
What a bag of tricks to pull out.
It's, sure. I guess, yeah.
I'm confused. Fan oriented? Like, do you think someone over at Marvel was like, let's get fucking Rom involved with, like, let's get the Space Knight line. Like, let's play with that universe and tug it into the X-Men mythos. Someone who's like a big fan of it? Or do you think it was just they were going through and they're like, what have we not tapped?
Yeah, they're just, I think they're going back. They're playing the hits right now, it seems.
All right, so this is Disney, though, we're talking about. Wouldn't this be a marketing deal through Hasbro in its truest form? Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
This went down as a marketing deal where Hasbro was like, let's get the Space Knight franchise hopping. Let's make some movies.
We'll see. If we start seeing like Space Knight toys out of nowhere, then we know, yes, that's how you tell. If you start seeing mass-produced toys everywhere of like Rom or Space Knights, then absolutely. I will see that this is a ploy.
Externals? For sure.
Externals, yeah. Externals. There's so many characters.
Space Knight with the external, a lot of the external storylines in like, gosh, the latter half of the aughts. I know for a while he just started popping up a lot, and they'd be doing these big crossover events, and all of a sudden it's like, Space Knight's here. Rom the Space Knight. Which at first I'm like, you remind me of that dude who used to like move around Nintendo cartridges back in the day, that weird robot that people...
Rob the Robot?
Like, Rob the Robot, yeah. He was a playable character in one of the Smash Brothers games. What's that about? Nintendo has this line of all these amazing characters, and they go shit like that. Like, who wouldn't have played as Rob the Robot against Mario? That sounds great.
It's weird. I don't get it. But yeah, he's hanging out back at it looks like he's in the medical area, and everyone's just like, is he dead? Did I kill him? Or at least Fauna's like that, and like, maybe? I don't know. And he's just like, he's like half dead, and all of a sudden he's like, he's Space Knight.
And he's having a dream of this, like, dude, this Space Knight came to Earth, fought the giant man bear pig, lost, the thing stepped on it, got the sword jammed. The sword apparently has been jammed in his foot since before. How long ago did it look like he came? It seemed like the Earth was...
primordial. It says primordial Earth.
Yeah. So
been a while.
The sword has been up that thing's fucking foot. He's been
one grumpy man bear pig for a while.
Yeah. And then he watched all that in his weird coma dream.
Yeah. Interesting. I guess you get to see the death of the former user of the weapon. Fun times.
Could be. Yeah. Because it's not normally Cable's power to have sort of what is it? Like a precognitive ability there's a term for it when you can read like the psychometry of an object and it tells you its history when you touch it. Some sort of psychic power that's like a term that references it. But yeah, he's never shown that kind of ability, so it has to be something tied to the sword.
The sword. Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm not familiar enough with the Rom story and how the space.
Well, it's also tying into Ten of Swords, let's be real.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, this is all like I think there's going to be like, it's like Knights of the Round Table. There's going to be like six people that get swords and shit's going to, I don't know. But yeah, it looks like Cable has a sword for that reason.
Okay.
breathe. I'm getting
Excalibur flashback.
No. Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But yeah, he gets up, I guess.
Big damn sword.
And he gets his sword, and he's like, I got a big damn sword now. Or what is it? I always wanted to have a big fucking sword.
Yeah, because he says that big guns were the old guy's thing.
Yeah.
He's like distinguishing himself from old Cable.
Himself apart, you know? Yeah. Gotta set yourself apart. And as that happens, I like we get subterfuge. Cyclops, except for the visor, we just get a little lie. It's so good. Whoever thought of that, perfect.
That was brilliant. He was like, what's going on out here? Why'd you just start glowing randomly? Are you doing that on purpose? Are you trying to be menacing? And Cyclops is like clearly walking out of what appears to be some walkway that's clearly smaller than him. Like he had to duck to step out of it.
Right. But he knows they left the island or went to Monster Island and tried to save someone. And as that's happened, the girls kind of leave. Armor looks back with like the biggest doomy eyes ever at Cable and it's like, peace, see ya. Yeah. But it's like, it's mixed messages as fuck. It's like, see ya, but like, also follow me. Let's see where this goes.
It's gonna go nowhere. This is never gonna probably be brought up again. We'll see what happens in Cable 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cable's like, check it out, Dad. I got this sword. I got from fighting one of those weird dog-like monsters. Actually, what Cable says, his words verbatim, dog-like monster. Dog-like
monster. Yeah.
It's funny because I try to be hyperbolic with some of this stuff, but I don't have to. It's already
it's written. It's written like that. Oh man, it's unfortunate though.
And Cyclops is pretty skeptical about it, but I mean, they at this point, the monsters are stemming into the island due to the fact that those two islands hooked up and they're now one solid island, and it's now created this bridge between the monsters and mutants. And it seems like there's rarely mishap, but this is one of the first ones. But it led to this sword, so I don't know. Are they trying to say the island is still not to be feared? It's just more of it was reaching out to, this was the creature trying to like connect with the mutants, maybe? I don't know. You can interpret a few different ways, but it does seem intriguing on what this proposes. Because it didn't seem like they had anything where anyone was outright killed by any monsters yet. I hadn't caught any wind of that. So it seems like there's a pretty good symbiotic cohabitance going on. I still haven't seen much more about the summoners, though. I'd like to know about that and what's going down with those characters. Hopefully the next X-Men issue touches on it.
The X-Men free comic book day book that was just a giant tease for X of Swords does tease that bastard war child that Apocalypse has, so he's gonna make a return during that.
Cool. So those the summoner based mutants and all that
stuff. All that should be tied together, at least some of it, hopefully.
Oh man, that looks like that's gonna be messy.
But yeah, we'll see.
See how they do. I like a lot of the characters that are on the play field right now. A lot of factions, I mean, and yeah, different ulterior motives working in one mass organization. That's one of the few things that's working about the whole Donna X thing. The problem is that certain issues like this and what's going on with Excalibur and Marauders is not helping. It's only hurting that. It's taken away from me.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there, Dugan. Please bring it back to full circle quicker, sooner than later, though, is all I ask. Probably not, though. Unfortunate. But we move on, and we go to some what is this? Some space colony? Space colony?
It's a space museum. It's like a
museum. It's like a
yeah. Because Cyclops leads with, like, he's like big whoop on the sword. It's just light metal, but then he's like, it's light metal that's definitely not from this earth.
Definitely not from this earth.
Cut to across the universe. Space museum that apparently has a giant carcass of a brood queen.
Yeah, brood queen hanging out back there. Weird.
This is like the collector or someone like.
Bernie. I was gonna say it feels like the collector's museum or something. I don't know.
Some character like that would do something like this. Any tropey comic book character that's like, I gotta collect things. It seems like this would be their establishment.
Yeah,
apparently they got themselves a set of space knights.
Yeah, just hanging out, right? And then hanging out, being displayed. You know, we got like a tour group going through. Someone's kind of explaining who they are, where they're from, and whatnot. And then out of nowhere, they're just all like, they've been activated. Out of nowhere, it's like, oh, the sword. Sword's been activated. Let's do our shit, guys. Let's do it. We're ready.
We've been hanging out for this very fucking moment.
Yeah, let's do this. They get out of their display cases, you know. I wish they don't even show. They just kind of cut to them causing chaos after that. We get like this group of museum patrons. Not patrons, but...
No, they're like workers, security guards, workers, I guess.
Yeah, weird outfits.
It's just someone's stealing the exhibit by remote. That's what they assume. They're like, oh, someone's piloting these exhibits.
Yeah, they're confused. But the Space Knights
they can dust them. I mean, are they fucking hole. Vape them or something? Like, right? Like, doesn't that dude get turned into, like, or demolecularize him? Like, one of those weird ribbons floating through the air was like, is that the remnants of him?
That's what I want to know. Is it? Is he shooting it?
Like, the only thing that's left was his clothes. See,
the art direction's a little weird. A little clunky in this battle.
I do get the vibe that he definitely fucking dusted those dudes in some way. Like, they're done.
Seems like it.
Those dudes are definitely done.
And then everyone's done in this place, right? Because they just blast a hole through the thing and bounce.
True.
So
they have some sort of space field thing. Interlocking measures that can quickly react to it. I mean, it's pretty advanced, but still, it is funny. You know, it's just like security, like, you ain't going anywhere. Like, you know, we're out of here. Like, no.
But as they're doing this the whole time, they're just all like, insert cliche generic robot protocol 352. We are designed to give you all of the story as we destroy everyone, and here's our story, and let's go do it, guys. And it's just like, come on, guys, write a story. Just write something that's not like something you've already seen and then claim it as your own. It's like a meme. I'm looking at a meme. This is someone else's work redone and reappropriated, thrown together with no meaning.
You're right, because even look at the design. I was noticing even in the visual design of how the three are presented, it almost feels like you could swap them out with any robot-based space villain.
Yep.
And just there's the one with the round head, there's the one with the pointy head, there's the one with the, like, spiky
head. Ridiculous. I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of effort happening is what I'm getting at, but I don't know.
Well, it's cookie cutter. It feels like they're just swapping in, like, they find old animations. They're like, let's just take this still and then put this here. We'll put this head on this image and then we'll reuse it again and again.
That's unfortunate. But they bounce. They're out of there. And as they bounce, we cut to another place, another time. And
Flaming Crab.
Fucking flaming motherfucking crab. Freaking flames coming out of its eyes, and this fucker conjures up some flames out of its claws out of nowhere. And as that happens, the claws kind of they crack, right? It looks like a gunshot hits it or something. And as this is happening, we get someone, right? They're just all like, I promise, no matter how long, just monologue. Another more generic cliche dialogue, you know, how long it takes, I will kill you for this affronts to these sovereign lands. Really going, it's just a crab. I'm just like, calm down, it's crab.
The crab is angry. Like, the crab is angry. Fire shooting out of its eyes. Yeah. It's pissed. It's gonna kill him from fucking with his sovereign lands. Apparently the crab was the defender of these lands. I don't understand.
Crab's the defender of these lands, and it's like, go to hell, old man. It talks to you, by the way. Yeah.
Starts a hyper beam or something in those
something hands. And then bam, shoots him in the face. He's a little hell man, and then he shoots him in the face. And then we cut to, who do we cut to, Danny?
Well, we cut to the original Cable, which for some reason in another place at another time and alive. Because why not?
Oh, man.
Because this isn't already messy enough.
Oh, no. Why?
Why? Young Cable, or then they become friends? Or, I don't know, Marvel's trying to be progressive, so they become lovers? I don't know what's going on. This is weird. I don't understand how this is going to end.
I don't know.
I think it's going to have a weird Deus Ex.
Cycle back. It's just a way to get. It's just a way to get the status quo back. We're going to get old Cable back. Young Cable's going to die, probably by old Cable, and it all goes back to normal.
Or they just stop traveling through time altogether and just put a moratorium on that. They put a moratorium on the whole death thing.
Yeah.
Time travel thing. I think that might be even worse. Like, the cliche of death in comics is nowhere near as bad as the time travel cliche. Because the time travel cliche comes with like a whole bunch of narrative, whereas the death is just like, oh, the person's back, now we gotta deal with that. But time travel, it's like, oh, there's a whole nother timeline that we now have to deal with. Mm-hmm. That may or may not become relevant or just get erased, and then we dust it. I like when they get rid of timelines and then they bring them back, but then it's like, how did you bring back that timeline if that timeline's gone? And they're like, well, we went further back. And I'm like, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're gonna do now.
Yeah, I guess so. This is our life now.
I was led to believe it was canon that Cable was the one who created Apocalypse.
I remember that. Is that still valid?
I don't think so. I highly doubt it. If it was, it's been retconned. It's been retconned for sure.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I have mixed feelings about Cable showing up. I have a lot of mixed feelings. It's nice to see. It's a Cable again in his more Cable like form. With his metal arm, but
it wasn't worth it.
I don't think it was worth it. I think we could have just kept the young Cable and done something with that. At least brought that to its own conclusion. I felt like maybe winding that out. Benjamin Button it. Bring back a younger Cable. An even younger Cable to kill that Cable. And then that's how it plays out until we get to the last Cable. And then that Cable's a baby. They give it to Scott and then he raises it. Yes, he lives out his whole childhood how it should have been, being raised by his father and his mother. That's how we wind it up. I'm just saying.
So IDW Publishing owns realm currently, and the way they get around it is that they're Knights of Galador in Marvel, and in realm they're Knights of, where'd it go? Alonian? Yeah. Knights of Alonia. Alonian. I guess that's all you need.
So this is some, like, Transformers and GoBots bullshit.
Yeah, I guess so. They're
playing with rights and battling each other for differences.
It's weird, right? I don't get how that works.
I don't want any of it in the X-Men storyline. It has no place here. You mean to tell me this is how you're going to bring a sword into the story that's going to make it relevant? Is this whole recipe thing? I like it. It's messy.
Here we are, though. Here we are. This is what we get. We get Silver Samurai, you know, trying to whip out some jokes at Wolverine. We get Cable talking, you know, nonsense. Just like, yeah, big guns, fucking yeah. And,
well, he's wielding a sword, too. And then I'm saying, sorry, he'll be just be like, yeah, big guns.
Yeah, sorry, fucking sword. So I can get it together.
Magic would be there. It's got a sword.
Yeah. There is another page, The Hunt, which is just an entry, and it's just us talking about these demons that were on Earth, but then they fled with hostages, and they sworn vengeance, and their top priority is protecting the lives of the hostages. I don't know. I don't get what it's making. Is it just referring to the Space Knights? I don't know what this is referring to at all.
After reading it, I couldn't tell from whose narrative it's supposed to be from, if it's an unknown, if this is just a plot buildup, because it seems like it could be a manifesto tied to the Space Knights. It could be a manifesto tied to someone who witnessed it. This could be the fucking Watcher even talking.
Oh, it's sign C. It's Cable. So this is probably old Cable doing something. I don't know. He's being very vague as fuck, but I guess it's old Cable going through some shit. Login.
I guess.
Is that what he's going by now? Just C?
If that's the case, that's dumb. See, yeah. I gave it more credit than that. I thought.
I wish I didn't read that.
God. I thought this was going to be revealed as like someone, like a third party who was witnessing the whole thing. There's always someone who's like chronologically narrating the time.
Exactly. Nope.
Goes through and fucks up shit and makes like a notation. And in the end, he always has to pay for it in some way or like find a fucking loophole to get out of it. And it seems like they're stuck in that death spiral because it's just like, we're going to do the same thing over that we did to try to get rid of old Cable. But I don't know. Why do you think they made Cable young? Do you think that so he could fit in with the younger X-Men, like play off of that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. It's the same reason why they made
marketing when they're younger, right? Like, isn't it?
Yeah, I imagine it's a marketing move. It's always just like, yeah, tone it down, make him edgier, make him cool, make him, pop.
Well, they like want that, like you said, we don't want them to try to write to speak to us in a sense. We almost want them to write in a sense where that their story carries it. But in this instance, I feel like they've begun just writing towards the market aspect and let that carry the story.
Yep.
So like, well, look, you know, Johnny Everyboy can see themselves in Cable now because he's a kid. We look at these young Cable toys.
What a! So this is just, you're selling me a product.
It's Cable Ben 10 edition.
All right. I'm out of here. I'm over.
Powers of 10.
I can't. No, I don't want this. I don't know. I don't think I want this. I thought it was cool when I first read this, but now as we're podcasting this, I don't know if I want this.
It's tough, right? It's almost like the lesser of two evils, even. That's what it turns into, because you're like, okay, yeah, well, that old killing him will kill him. And then you're like, no, wait. There's something wrong here. Like, I don't even want that. Because if I want that, then now I've just become this apologist for the situation that this time travel MacGuffin has put us in. And I'm not going to abide by that. Not with these issues. If you're going to give me something that's going to build to this great, grandiose sort of X plot, you got to at least tie it in a way that doesn't make it more messy. You know,
yeah.
Tie it up in a nice bow.
You would think.
Some bookkeeping.
Hope.
Cross those T's and dot those I's. You know, why not?
Let's see it, Marvel. Let's see you bring home. Listen, you round a third really well, but can you make it home? Can you slide into home base for once? I want to see you do this. Can you make it happen?
If fucking Fox Kids Studios could do it once a week
right?
On average, don't fucking tell me you can't at least do one.
Get your shit together, Marvel. Please, for my sake, because I'm starting to, this is starting to become a exercise in sadism more so than a celebration of a cool thing.
House of Powers was great. Just do that. Just keep it like that. Just always
do that.
Just like that. Think about it. Think how comfortable the storyline would progress and how easy it would be to write.
Yep.
You would have to, why do you have to dump all these cooks on top of it and say, all right, now write it. So just split it up even more. Just file it down and see what more we get. I mean, look how crazy it was when we let them. Like, we just, people just said, sure, let's buy whatever. They were like, okay, we're going to make an X-Men gold, blue, yellow, black watch plaid, purple.
We're getting back there. We're trying to return their hard. It's ridiculous. Whatever. But that'll do it for us this week. What did you think of Cable issue number one? Should we continue with it? We'll at least do number two. I don't know. Yeah, beyond that, I can't speak.
Let's do number two. But did you know at what point this issue Wolverine like looked to Cable and he said, "You're only honking me off, kid."
Oh, I completely forgot to bring that up when I first read that, I was just like, "What? Did you just say honking me off?" It's ridiculous.
You know what? It's like, I want to read more because there's enough here to appreciate. But man, was this is messy. The ratio to joy is definitely skewed. But there was definitely some unique things here that allowed me to appreciate those moments, but they're so heavily overshadowed by just mediocrity and repetition just playing and pandering towards a safe and almost photographic repetition to get that audience just kind of like, look, three space creatures floating through space. Remember how many times Celestials, they always travel in threes? Everything in space travels in threes because, you know, it's easy to animate that. They have that set. They reuse these things. Most of the stuff done on computers, I don't, the talent, it's all getting watered down, and I could see it not only visually, but I could see it in the writing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where are the pouches? I'm gonna ask him. I'm gonna see Dugan. I'm gonna say, where are the pouches? Point to
where
me.
Where are the pouches when you?
It's
say
gonna be expose. I'm gonna walk up and I'm gonna be like, so explain to me, Dugan. Explain to me, Mr. Dugan, where the pouches are. I've looked through many of these pages here, and I'm holding it up, and I'm like, yeah. I brought my investigatory team with me, and we have each page blown up, and you will notice not one page. Is there a pouch on this woman?
He just walks away.
Worth it. 100%.
You're like the fan that breaks them. You're just like, all right, I'm done. This is it. This is where I tap out of existence. I'm going to go start forging horseshoes in Oregon now. Fuck you.
Oh.
Local
comic book writer Gary Dugan committed suicide tonight. It's Comic-Con hotel suite.
Oh my god. It'd be ridiculous.
And a half empty bottle of Sailor Jerry and a half empty bottle of Tremadol.
Ooh, Sailor Jerry. Nice. Wasn't a fan of the captain. Went for the Jerry.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. We'll give number two a try, but we'll see how it goes. We got X Factor to get through. We got X. What's the other one? I already forgot. X Factor and something else just came out too. There's so many things coming out right now. Hellions is the other one. So
which we got, I'm realizing I'm already as well. You got me intrigued with the Suicide Squad aspect, but
I don't know. I don't know where it'll go. Yeah, it's intriguing, but intriguing is not enough for me.
The villain teams into the focus of the current X-Men paradigm. Is it to show that in the issues that the narrative in the X-Men, is it the villains are the good guys now? Or that there is no good man? It's all just one moral gray area?
If they do that, if they take that approach and that, like, all the stories kind of lead...
Wasn't that why we're getting Hellions and Marauders?
That's what Marauders were supposed to be, the gray area between the black and white markets, but we're not really seeing that play out. We're just seeing people in awesome outfits.
And just betrayal.
Betrayal, yeah.
I'm surprised Mystique isn't in Marauders. She'd be right.
Radical. Yep.
But it almost seems like they're trying to rebrand. They're doing like a publicity, or not, what is it? When people are trying to work on their image, like an image campaign for the villains in the X-Men universe. Like, no, it's issue one. The Hellions are, they're cool now. They're like the Punishers of the X-Men universe.
It seems like that's what they're going for.
But it's weird, because isn't X-Force supposed to be Suicide Squad? I mean, because Suicide Squad was called Task Force A.
Yeah.
If you want to get any more on the nose.
Ridiculous. It makes no sense, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. Any final thoughts before we head out of here?
No, not really. I'm optimistic. I mean, Wolverine's good. I enjoyed that. X-Force still good. The giant size Nightcrawler it was all over the place. I couldn't even encapsulate that in one word. But there's still good ones. I mean, X-Men issues are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Individuals.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are kind of strange, but none of them have ever been like outright just, mm-mm, oh man, this is garbage.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Next time we are going to be hitting up New Mutants issue number 9.
Issue 8.
X-Men issue 8? Yeah. Really? Before New Mutants? Oh, I'm looking at the release order, not the...
Oh, well, that might get to change, because I'm going off of the actual comic book coming soon.
But oh, on the back? Yeah.
Yeah. Because that would make sense, because the New Mutants would get changed up, because that got pushed back, or X-Men got pushed back, I believe.
Right. Who knows, but we'll get you. We'll figure it out by the next time.
No accurate, like, rhyme or reason that the release schedule's impossible.
Yeah, I don't know. But
Marvel doesn't even know. They have that ambitious, like, charter that shows that they're going to release, like, 40 comics in the next, like, 2 months. Oh, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening at all.
We'll see how it goes, but that'll do it for us this week. Remember, guys and gals, the robots will kill you, so don't waste your life figuring out this reading order. Just read it and then die.
You can piece it together how you want. Make it your own.
You guys like doing that these days anyway. Just do, make it your own. It's all about you. Get out there. Be yourself.